Today's Mass is being offered for repose the soul of Gilbert Campos, for Steve Flores, and for the most lost souls. Today we have two feasts which coincide one with another. I probably should have chosen the other one in order for us to be prepared to preach on, but I'll probably do that later on when I'm at Project Defending Life later today to preach on her. But we celebrate the feast today of St. Agapatus, and this is a great early Christian martyr from the town of Palestrina. You know where Palestrina is. It's a town south of Rome, and it's known for its great works of music. Later on, there would be the great man of the church and great Polyphonus. I don't know if you know what that is, but polyphony is a musical style which is where many voices, poly, are speaking at the same time. So you know those beautiful things when you listen to these great musical works of art where they're doing all sorts of crazy things with their voices and going in and out of each other, and that's polyphony. And the church, at a difficult time in her life in the Middle Ages or the Renaissance, was about to end that as a practice in the church because so many people were doing bad things with it. We don't need to go into that at present, but it was Palestrina, a young boy who took his name from the town in which he grew up, who was the one who saved it by composing a beautiful Requiem Mass, and the Pope said, yes, this is a beautiful thing. Why would I ever think of removing this from the church, even if bad men are trying to put bad things into it? And St. Agapetus was a man who came from that particular time and suffered a cruel martyrdom as a youth, that he himself, being 24 miles south of Rome, he dared to reproach for his cruelty the Christians, one of the Emperor Aurelian's favorites, who immediately gave the order to arrest him. And so he was flogged. He was flogged for that, and dipped with in leaden straps that were scorpion tails. And so they would sting him and hit him as he was there. But his constancy in prayer under all that torture was so inspiring that as people were watching him and the things that he endured there, it's recorded that 500 pagan persons, because of his tortures, converted there on the spot and said, truly, he must be worshiping a true God to endure something as this in a prayerful state as he was. And so these 500 people, because of his testimony, also suffered martyrdom shortly thereafterwards. At the same time, they were rounded up as they declared their faith in Christ. This young martyr was then thrown into a terrible prison. And in that time when he was kept within the prison, he was visited with many great visions in that time that gave him strength to endure all that would go before him. He was questioned time and time again about his faith to give way to it, and was repeatedly scourged, laid upon the rack, and his body was torn with many iron nails, and yet he refused to turn against God. He still desired to not sacrifice to the god Apollo. And so his refusals won for him even more torments. Over and over again, he was placed upon live coals. They were put upon his head. He was suspended by his feet. Boiling water was poured over him. And yet his courage seemed to be something that was superhuman. That how could somebody endure something like this and not confess in any way to any of these things? And yet he continued to stay strong within his prayer and the confessing of the one true God. Not only that, but his answers to all the questions were those of great lucidity, meaning that he was able to discourse on very difficult things and give God-inspired answers, truly. You could see that this was something, a work of God that was in him. Finally, he was placed among the wild beasts in the arena. And there, the beasts refused to touch him, would not go anywhere near him, became as docile as domesticated animals. Because of this, still more pagans who were there within the arena converted, because they knew the history and they saw that even the beasts would respect this man and his God in whom he confessed. Finally, as a last-ditch effort, as happens with many of the martyrs, that the only way to destroy them was finally to sever their heads from their bodies. And so he was gathered up later on, his body purchased, and was buried in a Christian burial in the field where they found him, a new tomb prepared for a sepulchre. There are two churches in that city of Palestrina, the principal one of the town included, where worship is given to God under his name, St. Agapetus. Today we also celebrate the feast of St. Helen of the Cross. Remember, St. Helen's is the parish in Portalis, which is there as well. We'll talk about that hopefully later on today if the Lord gives us inspiration. But one thing on the life of St. Palestrina, and it's always good to have these stories of the great martyrs so that when you and I suffer persecution, whatever it is for the truth, that we recognize that we're not the only ones. We're not the only ones who suffer in this way. And there are so many before us who've suffered even more grievously. We recall this weekend's passage from the Hebrews. It says, you have not yet been given to the shedding of your blood for the faith. So hold fast your confession. These ones already have, and even shedding their blood copiously, were able to stand strong. So we can draw strength from them, as they are our heavenly intercessors, like St. Agapetus. But I want to dwell upon his time in the arena. They're in the arena. He was there, and as we know from the history of the saints, and even though secular people want to try to deny this as much as you will, if you went like we did to Rome just a year ago, you heard even the guides who were there trying to downplay the fact that in this Colosseum there were Christians who were put there and were tortured by beasts. They want to downplay that. But that is clear, many attestations of that, not just in that Roman Colosseum, but in Colosseums all throughout the empire. It's very clear that happened. But they do wish to downplay it because they don't want to upplay the faith. So these beasts refused to touch the flesh of God's anointed ones. There's something in that. And because of that, they realized what that caused those who were around to realize, look how vile we've become. That we would tear the flesh of somebody and consider it so cheap, and yet the beasts, who have no reason, respect it. Something for you and I to consider. The beasts respect the flesh of God's anointed ones. So when you and I are given sometimes to anger, to rage, to want to assault somebody who is near us, no matter what the reason is, we place ourselves lower than the beasts. Why? Because each and every human person is marked with the very stamp of God. The stamp of his own divinity is written into their human nature, and yet we find it so easily to strike with wicked claw against them. And here, in these particular moments, the man of God, the woman of God, is spared by the beasts themselves, who have no reason but have a nature only to tear, to claw, to eat, and to defend. Something for you and I to consider. Even if the person among us isn't a great saint like Agapetus or so many of the early Christian martyrs, particularly, we can remind ourselves that these ones probably were indeed baptized, even if they're not living like baptized persons. Yet they bear the cause of Christ within them. And so, if the beasts would not dare, in so many instances, to tear their flesh, then why we tear their flesh, tear their conscience, tear their good name, whether they be ones who attack us greatly from without or even from within our own families? Let's ask our God for the great grace where these beasts also feared to tear the flesh and became docile as domesticated animals before Agapetus and so many of the martyrs, so too we, in the face of whatever difficulty we face, even from those who are less than holy, as was St. Agapetus, we should refuse to claw, to tear, and to attack in the same way those whom God has called holy, his chosen ones, the one who he desires to spend eternity with him in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.